Life is not fair. It's not fair. Now, with that uplifting thought, this is going to be quite a sermon, you may think. But it's not fair. We learn that from the time we're little. I clearly remember making sandcastles right alongside other kids. And my sandcastles always fell. It was not fair. Same sand. I was listening, Trace, to you play earlier. I'm just curious, how long have you played the guitar? Yeah. 7 or 6 years. Oh, about 40. I am not near like you are. It is not fair. It is not fair. Some of us work really hard. We show up every day to work. We do a good day's work. And some of us are losing our jobs. Or our pay is cut or frozen. It is not fair. Some of us have put away faithfully money for years into pension plans and investments, preparing to send our children to college and for our older age. And poof, our economy has been hit. And much or all of that is gone. Life is not fair. We raise our children. We work hard to raise our children, instilling them with values. And we send them off to college. And some of them choose to go far away to college. You know, I got to be honest. Don't tell Zach Browning this. But wouldn't it have been nice if he'd have decided to go to Messiah instead of Boston? It's not fair. It's just not fair. And some of us, our children go away and they don't come home. And it's permanent. Life is not fair. The story of Ruth and Naomi today is a story of life not being fair. Here is a family that we have an insight to has probably left their home for survival, to get ahead, to eat. And in leaving their home to go from Bethlehem to Moab, they also left the home of their faith. That's no small thing, and that's a sermon in itself. Because isn't that true? Sometimes when life gets tough, we leave what we know that has given us sustenance. And we're trying to get ahead, and say we sleep in on Sunday mornings, or we're off at soccer games, and we leave our place of nurture. I digress. That's a whole sermon. But isn't it true? And isn't it true for us today, as so many of us are faced with complications in our life and full of life being unfair? And that's what happened to Naomi. For life felt like it had turned bitter, and she became bitter. In her life, not only did her husband die, but all her sons died. And life had gone from bad to really bad. And for a woman in that day and age, her future was horrible. It was a different day and age. This couldn't be a rags to riches where she learned to do something and supported her family. She had no choice, no good choice. And ultimately she chooses survival and to go back home to her people, where in that cultural day she will be cared for and have a place to live and food to eat. And she urged her daughters-in-law to do the same, for she cared for them. Naomi was not happy, and she had become bitter, and she blamed God. And don't we sometimes? When life is not fair, we want to know where the big guy is. And how has this happened to me and to my loved ones? The twist in this story, and I believe why we have the book of Ruth today, is what happens and what I read about. For Ruth does not go. And she makes the choice to stay with her mother-in-law. And it is the legacy of her choices that I want to share with us today. Her legacy is she doesn't choose safety or security, but what she believes is right. She has come to know something of God which she did not know about before her mother-in-law and husband and father-in-law. She comes to know of love. And her legacy to us is that she believed it. And love for her would not take no for an answer. She gets downright stubborn, this woman Ruth, whose name means companion. And she chooses to stay. The first gift of her legacy to us is what I will call the gift of presence. She gave the gift of her presence to Naomi. She stood in the gap, if you will, of Naomi's faith crisis. Those of us who know grief know that there are times in our grief where we can be so bereft that it is hard to even talk to God. Ruth had an understanding of love, and she gave her presence to her mother-in-law. Our presence sometimes is the most important gift we can give. In times of grief, it's not words. It's somebody being there with us, sitting alongside of us, bringing in food. I love how this church brings in food. It's not because we want to pander our wares. It's the way we walk alongside. We offer presence in crisis. Prayer presence. It's huge. And we could not make it without presence. And Ruth reminds us of that. She gives us in her legacy of this wonderful gem of a book a love that will not give up. It's a radical understanding of commitment. We live in an era and a time in our culture where commitment is hard-pressed. It's not very sexy, let's just face it. To stand by and hang in through the duration is tough. But that's the kind of love that Ruth exemplifies. There was a professor who spoke, he was a professor of theology, and he spoke about a couple that he was working with as they were preparing their marriage vows. And they wanted to write their own vows, which he was very agreeable to, but they didn't want to do the part that said that they vowed to stay together until death do us part. Instead, they wanted to assert the words, "For as long as our love shall last." Well, that sounds good. But that's not love. That's affection or lust. And the professor went on to say that in his understanding of love, is that that would have set them up to part their ways at the first argument. Ruth talks about, lived out, a commitment, a radical commitment in love. You know, Christ, as we learn in the New Testament, picks up and goes further as he instructs us to love our neighbor as ourselves. In the biblical tradition, love is marked by commitment. Ruth showed us how crucial it is to love our neighbor and to love the foreigner, that stranger in our midst. She was loved as a stranger. And what she shows us is that when we come to really know God and understand the love of God, it becomes incarnate in us. And we show that love, we act that love for one another. I really believe that the church is an experiment of God's love. Think about that. You know, we come together from a lot of different places, a lot of different places of brokenness. We come from different homes. We come from our own lives of brokenness. A lot of difference, foreigners, if you will, in our midst. And yet we come together week after week after week to be faithful because we have gotten a glimpse and understanding that God lives in us, loves in us, and that enables us to love each other. What an amazing experiment of love. That even when we are hurt, even when our home of origin may not be safe, we are safe in God's love. And we do our best here. Sometimes we don't make it. But that is what we are called to do. To love our neighbor. To love the foreigner. To be present in our love for each other. The last part of Ruth's legacy that I would live for us today is the twist that Ruth gives in calling us to stay close to God. Those of us who have been met with tragedy or crisis or the unfairness, everything inside us wants to take it on and fight our battle and make it change. And sometimes in doing so, we walk away from God. Sometimes in doing so, we fail to come to God's community. I have heard people in times of grief, I can't come to church because I'll break down. Well, you got a pastor who breaks down. This is where we need to be. Sometimes we break down. We come here because we need to be close to God and through God's people remain close to God. Last week, I journeyed to North Carolina to a very difficult family situation. The closer I got, the stronger I got. And I learned later you had shared with the church. I felt your prayers. I literally felt your prayers. When we remain close to God, there is a strength and a power that carries us that we don't get when we run away. Does it make everything just nice and neat? No. But what it does is it allows us to experience God's love and to choose God's love rather than bitterness when life is unfair. Philip Yancey wrote in a wonderful, wonderful book, Disappointment with God, about a man named Douglas who faced a lot of unfairness in his own life. His wife developed breast cancer. She lost a breast in a mastectomy, and about 2 years later, the cancer returned to her lungs. And Douglas walked with her through that crisis. She survived that crisis, but it was incredibly painful and difficult, as those of you who've walked with cancer know. One night in the midst of this crisis, Douglas was driving his car. He was the driver, and in his car was his 12-year-old daughter and his wife, and they were hit head-on by a drunk driver. They survived, and he had the worst of the impact. It left him with brain injury and inability to see out of one eye and focus with the other. He was not able to stand or negotiate stairs. He couldn't read. He told Philip Yancey, though, that he felt no disappointment in God over his situation, that his faith in God was still strong. And listen to this. He said, "I learned first through my wife's illness and then especially through the accident not to confuse God with life." In other words, Douglas realized that life is unfair, but the unfairness of life is not God. And he refused to let the unfairness push him away from God. Our legacy from Ruth, go home and read the rest of the story. Our legacy from Ruth is to align ourselves closely with God, who, no matter what the calamities of our life are, will not desert us. If we, you and I, can center ourselves with our God and not to the conditions that complicate our living, we will be able to experience much more clearly the fullness that God promises us in all of life. It's my challenge to you, whatever's happening in your life today, whatever's happening in my life, no matter how unfair life can be, we have a good God who loves us eternally.